Today's daf is Yuma Daf Mem Hey, and we are 24 lines from the bottom of Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis, the two dots. B'chol Yoyim Hayachaisa B'shel Kesef. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo Ben Sar Aliza, Avadia Ben Miriam Leia, Moshe Abba Ben Devora, Devora Bas Mecha, Shmu Ben Tehila, Mordechai Tzvi Ben Fradol, Rufol Yaakov Ben Rochel Chava, David ben Shoshana, Rafael Yitzchak Isaac ben Rechama, Miriam Basar Adina, Menachem Mendel ben Yehudis Chaya, Avram Menachem ben Leah Edel, and Yaakov ben Gittel. Today's daf's being learned as a schos for Yecheskel Shraga ben Miril, and today's daf's being learned to Eloi Nishmas, Avram ben Yibadol Chaim Toivim, Rav Moshe Chaim. So the Mishnah on daf Mem Gimel Amid Beis continue to discuss the Seder HaAvoida on Yom Kippur and mentioned the special ketores that the Kohen Gadol would bring on Yom Kippur. So every single day in the Beis HaMikdash, one of the avoidas that was done was the ketores. The ketores were a bunch of different ingredients that were burnt on the Mizbeach. Now the ketores was unique because most things that were burnt on the Mizbeach were burnt on the Mizbeach HaChitza. That was the very large Mizbeach that was in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash that had the ramp. The ketores was different in that the ketores was burnt on the other mizbeach, the much smaller mizbeach, the mizbeach hapnimi. In fact, one of the synonyms for the mizbeach hapnimi is mizbeach haketores, because it was on that mizbeach that the ketores was burnt. So the ketores was brought every single day in the Beis HaMikdash. Another thing that was unique about the ketores that was brought is that it was brought twice. Pras b'shachris u'pras b'no arbayim. So as we've mentioned many times, there were certain avoidos that weren't just done once, they were done twice every single day. The tamid shal shachar and the tamid shal b'no arbayim. The minchas chavitin, that was a special carbon mincha that the Kohen Gadol would bring every day, was brought machtzisa ba'boiker u'machtzisa ba'erev. The ketores was the same. The ketores was brought pras b'shachris u'pras b'no arbayim. So every single day ketores was brought on the Mizbeach HaKetores, and every single day it was brought twice. Yom Kippur was unique. One of the unique aspects of the Avodah on Yom Kippur is that there was a special Keteres that was brought. Essentially, a third Keteres. The shear of that Keteres was different. The halachos of that Keteres was different. Regardless, it was one of the feature Avodahs on Yom Kippur, and that's what the Mishnah on Daf Mem Gimel was discussing. And then, as soon as the Mishnah mentioned the ketores that was brought on Yom Kippur, the Mishnah began to compare and contrast the way the ketores was brought every single day in the Beis HaMikdash versus the way the ketores was brought on Yom Kippur. The Mishnah said, "B'chol yoyim hayachaisa b'shal kasef." Every single day, when the Kohen would take the ketores, so he would take coals from the Mizbeach HaChitzai, bring them onto the Mizbeach HaPnimi, and be makdir the ketores. Now that's a little bit of a chiddush, because where was he taking the coals from the mizbeach achitzayin? From the fire that was on the mizbeach. You picture a mizbeach, you see a fire on top. Now the mizbeach didn't have a natural fire. There was a marocha, they would set up wood, light a fire, and they would take the fire from there. Now just like the kohen could take fire from the mizbeach achitzayin, he could have made a marocha and taken fire from the mizbeach apnimi. But that's exeris hakasav. The Gemara is going to darshan it in today's daf, that the marocha that was the source of fire for the ketores had to be dafka from the mizbeach achitzayin. It couldn't be from the mizbeach apnimi. So every single day, the kohen would take a shovel. The shovel was made of silver, and he would shovel coals from the mizbeach achitzayin. Now, he wouldn't take that same shovel to use for the ketores, meaning to walk the coals into the heichal so that it could be marked to the ketores. Rather, he would take the coals that were inside that silver shovel, pour it into a gold shovel, and then walk with the gold shovel into the heichal, pour it onto the mizbeach hapnimi with the ketores, and that's how he brought the ketores. So that's what happened every day. Two shovels, one silver, one gold. He would do the actual shoveling with the silver one, pour it into the gold. That's how he took it into the heichal. But on Yom Kippur, he would start off with a gold shovel, and that's the way that he would walk it in. Zok de Gemara, my timer, what's the reason? Meaning, why was it that every single day there were two shovels? One was silver and one was gold. If ultimately the ketores is going to be brought with a gold shovel, then why can't you shovel the coals using the gold shovel? So the Gemara says, it's because the Torah felt bad and understood that if you're going to use a gold shovel every day to shovel the coals, at some point the gold is going to start wearing out a little bit, and they're going to have to replace this shovel, and it's a very expensive shovel. They're going to have to start raising money, and a Torah chasa al mamon and shal Yisrael to spend money for a shovel that's gold. So we might as well use a silver shovel, even if the silver goes bad, and eventually you have to replace it. It's not such an expensive replacement. So therefore, we use two shovels because we want it to be cheaper. The point is, vada, we're going to walk into the heichal using the machta shel zav. But if you're also going to shovel using the Zav, it's going to cause the gold to go bad. That's not something that we want. Therefore, B'chol Yom HaYachaysa B'shel Kesef, and he would pour it into gold. But Yom Kippur was different. Yom HaYachaysa B'shel Zav V'baha Yom Machnas. On Yom Kippur, it was only one shovel. My time, Mishum Chulsha D'Kayin Gadol. Because as we're going to see throughout the Daf, that we were sensitive to the Kohen Gadol, so that he shouldn't have to work too hard. The Avodah on Yom Kippur was very taxing, physically, emotionally, as you can imagine. It was a very, very big deal. And Chazal were worried that the Kohen Gadol has so much work to do, at some point he may wear down a little bit, and it may impact the Avodah. So they tried minimizing the amount of work that he had to do, even though there were so many miracles that happened on Yom Kippur. But as we've seen, one of the themes in Soimchan al Anes, and therefore we try minimizing as much as we can the amount of work that the Kohen Gadol is going to have to do. So if you're going to tell him that he needs two shovels, start with the silver one, then you pour it into the gold, that's just an extra layer of work. So HaTorah Chasa Mamayin Shri Yisrael, so 364 days, when you shovel the Ketairis, you're going to shovel it with silver, not with gold. The one day a year, nothing's going to happen so terrible to the gold. There's a cheshbon of Chul Shul the Kohen Gadol, and it's for that reason it was only one shovel. Mishnah continued discussing differences between the Ketairis that was brought every day versus the Ketairis that was brought on Yom Kippur. And the Mishnah said, B'chol Yom every day, Chayis V'shal Arba Kabin. The original shovel was made of four kavod, meaning the silver one, umar l'tech shalishes kavod, and then the gold one that it was poured into was made of three kavod. That's the share. Today there was only one shovel. It was the gold one. The gold was three kavod, like it was every day, and therefore it only ended up being one. So there was a little bit of a difference, a spread between the size of the shovel that was used to actual shovel the coals versus the shovel that was used to walk the keteris into the heichal. The original was four kavin and the next one was three kavin. So the question is, what happened to that extra kav? Meaning, when you're pouring from four kavin into three kavin, one kav is going to end up on the floor. So something has to happen with that. That's something that the Gemara is going to address. But Rabbi Yossi argues with Tanakam. Rabbi Yossi says, "B'chol yom chayis b'shal sa." Every day he was chayis b'shal sa. If you translate that into kavin, a sa is six kavin. Umar b'tayich shloishes kavin, he would pour it into three kavin. So we have a machloikis tanam, the Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah, the shovel that was made of silver, that was used to actually shovel the coals for the keteris every single day. How big was that? Was it made up of four kavin? Was it made up of six kavin? The gold one was made of three, and the one that was used on Yom Kippur was for sure made of three. But the silver one, explain why he needed two. Was it made of four? That was the sheet of the Tanakama. Was it made of three? That was the sheet of Rabbi Yossi. And again, what's essentially happening is, if you're pouring six kavin into three kavin, according to Rabbi Yossi, you can have three kavin lying on the ground. If you're pouring four kavin into three kavin, according to the Tana Kama, you can have one kav lying around. So you have to figure out what happens with all that extra coal. So the Gemara addresses it immediately with a braisa. The extra kav of gecholim that ended up on the floor, they would sweep it into the ama. That was the canal that swept through the azara, and it would take all the things that didn't belong in the azara outside of the azara. That's what happened. Regardless, so this braisa explains that piece of information that's missing from the Mishnah. What happened to that extra kav? Of course, going in the Shita of the Tanakama that says there was an extra kav. According to Rabbi Yossi, there were three extra kavim. It ended up going together with all the things that went out of the Zok the Gemara. Tani Chad, we learned to the Braisa kav. A Braisa said that there was an extra kav. Tani Yidr, we learned to another Braisa kabayim. There were actually two extra kavim. The Gemara asks the obvious question. Mishle mahach the Tani kav. Mishle the Braisa that says there was an extra kav. Rabban, it's going according to Rabbanon. You start off with a machta that has four kavin, you pour it into a machta that has three kavin, you're going to end up with one extra kav. El hachta tani kabayim, but the price that it says two extra kavin, mani, who's that? Lay Rabbanu, lay Rabbi Yossi. It's not the Rabbanu, it's not Rabbi Yossi. According to Rabbanu, you're pouring from four to three, you have one extra kav lying on the floor. According to Rabbi Yossi, you're pouring from six to three, a saz made up of six kavin. So you have three extra kavin on the floor. So what's this price that it says to Amr Chizda? Rav Chizda said, Rabbi Shmuel benoisha, Rabbi Yochanan ben Breiki. It's not the Tanakama, it's not Rabbi Yossi. Rather, it's a third Tana, it's a third opinion in this sugya. It's Rabbi Shmuel, who was the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika. The Tanya we learned in the Brayse, Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika, Omer Bishel Kabayim Hayim Machnes, that the shovel that was used to walk into the Azara wasn't made up of three kabin, like our Mishnah said, but rather it was made up of Kabayim, it was made up of two kabin. Oh, so you have a shita that holds that shovel was really made up of two kabin. This is the second shovel. So now we can back into understanding this Brayse. The Tana of the Braisa that says that there were two kabayim, meaning there were two kabin lying on the floor, is the Tana Kamel that says that the silver shovel was made up of four kabin, the gold shovel was made up of two kabin, which means you'll end up having two kabin lying on the floor. So really, there's three shitas in terms of how many kabin were on the floor. According to the Tana Kamel, you pour from four to three, end up with one on the floor. According to Rabbi Yossi, you pour from six to three, end up with three on the floor. According to Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika, you pour from four to two, so you end up with two on the floor. Says the shita was one, the Tanakama shita was two, Rabbi Shmuel ben Yosef, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika, and the shita that was three, that it was Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Ashi said another pshat. I feel the same Rabbi Yosef. Maybe that brisa that says there were two kabin on the floor is going according to Rabbi Yosef. What's the kasha? How could it be Rabbi Yosef? According to Rabbi Yosef, you're pouring from six to three, you have three on the floor. B'hachi ka'amar, b'chol yehim ha'chayz b'shal samit boris, u'ma'ar l'toich shloishes kabin yirishalmiyos. So the Mishnah says you poured from a saw into three kabin. The assumption was it was the natural saw. The natural saw that was used in the times of Chazal was made up of six kabin. But Zok Dravashi, maybe that's not what it meant. Maybe this saw was not the saw that was used at the time, but rather it was the original saw that was used in the Midbar. So at some point in history, more than once, the shiurim changed. So what was once a saw, later was a little bit different. And in our sugyo, Ravashi is comparing and contrasting between the shear of the saw that was used when the Yidden were in the Midbar, the saw Midbaris, versus the shear of the saw that was used when the Yidden were living in Eretz Yisrael, known as the saw Yerushalmios. This is something that comes up in different sugyas. The difference that we need to know is the saw Yerushalmios is made up of five kabin, but the saw Midbaris is really made up of three kabins. It says Ravashi, if Rabbi Yossi meant in the Mishnah, the saw Yerushalmis, that's six kabin, you poured into three kabin Yerushalmis, you're going to be left with three. But if Rabbi Yossi really meant the saw Midbaris, that was made up of five kabin, and if you poured it into three kabin Yerushalmis, so the kab is constant, it's the saw that changes from six to five, that's where you end up with two. That would be the cheshbon of having two on the sides. So you have two pshatim in the Gemara, how it's possible that there would have been two kabin on the side. Either Rabbi Shmuel ben Yosef, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika, he walked in with a shovel of two. You started off with a shovel of four, like the Rabbanan Sheet and the Mishnah, so you end up with two sitting on the floor. Or, it's really Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said, saw six, you poured into three. Shouldn't you have three on the floor? That's if it's a saw Yerushalmis. Maybe he meant saw Midbaris. That's how you would end up with two. Regardless, there were two shovels. You pour from a bigger one to a smaller one. A little bit is going to be on the floor, and it's going to be swapped in. But that was every day. On Yom Kippur, all it was one. And the reason is, we don't want to have to do extra work. Another difference between the Ketores that was brought every day versus the Ketores on Yom Kippur that was mentioned in the Mishnah is Bechol Yoyim. The Mishnah said, the shovel was heavy. And the shovel today was Kala. It was light. Meaning it wasn't the same shovel. They were both gold. They were both Machseke Shloisha Kabin. But at the same time, they were different. Because every day it was heavy. And today, it was like, talk to Gemara, what does this even mean? Every day, the gold was thick. Today, it was a little bit of a thinner gold, meaning the size of the shovel was the same in terms of how much gecholim it was able to hold. But how thick was the actual shovel? Every day it was thicker. Today it was thinner. The Mishnah continued and said, every day the handle was shorter. Today the handle was a little bit longer. My time, what do you need a long handle for? Because we wanted the Kohen Gadol to have the option that if he doesn't want to hold the shovel in his hand, he could put it underneath his arms. Like this, he'll be able to hold this. If there's a long handle, you could put it underneath your arms. If not, not. Why would we allow the Kohen Gadol to do that? Again, chulsha the Kohen Gadol. Might be too heavy. Might be finding it hard to carry. It's like this, you give him another way to carry. Tana, price, b'chol yom in the ashtik. Every day, there were no bells that were attached to the today it had a bell or like a ring, something that would make noise. Divri ben Askan, that's what Ben Askan said. So what's the reason for it to have in the ashtik? Zok Rashi, The umashmiya kol. The idea is for it to make noise. Mishum v'nishma koyle b'vayel kodesh. Because the pasuk that says that when the kohen gadol entered the kodesh, you want it to be able to make noise. Now, ordinarily, that noise came from the bells, the pamoinim and the rimoinim that were on the bottom of the mill. But today it's Yom Kippur, and today the kohen gadol is going to enter wearing the big day lavan. So he wasn't going to have that natural source of noise that he usually had. So he had to compensate. We had to improvise. The way we improvise is he's walking with the k'tiris, put a little ringle. That's what the Gemara means when it says in the yashtik, like this, it's going to make noise. Another difference the Mishnah said was b'chol yoyim, every day, the type of gold that was used was a zahav yoroik. It was a yellowish gold. V'hayoyim edoyim, today it was a red gold, divrei Rab Menachem. That's what Rab Menachem said. Zok the Gemara, what's yellow gold and red gold? What does this even mean? Amar Rav Chizdo. Shiva zahav, and the seven types of gold. Zahav. This gold, Zav Tav, good gold, Zav Oifir, that Zav that comes from Oifir, Zav Mufas, the Gemara will explain that, Zav Shachot, the Gemara will explain that, Zav Sagu, the Gemara will explain that, Zav Parvaim, the Gemara will explain that. So seven different types of gold. Zav Zav Tav, how do you know there's gold and good gold? The pasuk says, Zav Har, it's Ahu Tav. The gold was good. So you see from there that there's something called good gold, Zav Har, it's Ahu Tav. You'll see that not all gold is good, because it says that land's gold was good. Michlal lavat hashem meyahen, that there must have been other gold that wasn't so good. Zav oifer, the asimi oifer comes from oifer. Zav mufaz shedoyim lapaz, this is gold that looks like pearl. Zav shachud shenitva kachud, it's a very thin gold that you can weave with it like you can with a string. Zav sagur b'shashen nichftach kol hachanuyos nisgares, because when this gold is being sold on the street, all the stores have to shut down because you can't sell your gold. It's impossible to compete with this quality of gold. Zav parvaim shedoyim ladam parim, it's a reddish gold. It looks like the gold of Par. Rav Ashi Amar, Rav Ashi said chamisha. It's not seven types of gold, rather there's five. We just mentioned seven. V'chol chad v'chad is be'zav v'zav tar. Meaning there's five types of golds, and each one of these five golds have two grades. They have the zahav grade, that's the basic grade. Then they have the zav tar, that's the better grade. Every day the zav was a yellow gold, and today it was a red gold. Now from the seven golds that we saw, which one would it be? It would be the Zav Parvayim. That's Doimel Dam HaParim. Dam HaParim, the blood of a par is obviously red. That's what this price says. V'hainu Zav Parvayim Shedoimel Dam HaPar. So that's the Tanya Nami Hachi. Meaning, why is Rav Chizda talking about golds? Because the Mishnah said that every day it was this type of gold, and in Yom Kippur it was that type of gold. Yom Kippur was a special gold. It was a red gold. It was a gold that is Doimel Dam HaParim. It's Zav Parvayim. This is all Rav Chizda talking. Rav Chizda is an Amayra. So the Gemara says that this is really supported by a price. The concept that there was a reddish gold, it was called Dam Parvayim because it was Doimel Dam HaParim. That's Mefurish in the Mishnah. Why are we talking about this? That was the color of the gold shovel that was used for the special k'tiris that was brought on Yom Kippur. The Mishnah said, b'chol yoyim, every single day when the k'tiris was brought. So it was brought twice. It was brought pras b'shachris, a little bit in the morning, pras b'narbayim, and then the rest of it in the afternoon. V'yoyim, moisif maloi chafnav. And today on Yom Kippur, it was a maloi chafnav. B'chol yoyim, the Mishnah said, hoi sedaka. Every day, the k'tiris had to be ground, daka, thin. V'hayoyim, and on Yom Kippur, it was daka min ha-daka. Zok de gemara, tanu rabbanon, daka. It says that the special k'tiris in Yom Kippur had to be daka. Not tamo doyme v'lik v'arnem v'shachach to be menu hodig. It says that the k'tiris always had to be daka. Had to be hodig, which means daka. So why do we have to mention that the k'tiris in Yom Kippur had to be daka? Elohavi daka min ha-daka. That's how you know it had to be an extra level of refined, meaning every single day the k'tiris had to be daka. So once the k'tiris says you need k'tiris on Yom Kippur, so you know it's daka. K'tiris is always daka. Why would you think this is different? Oh, if the k'tiris mentions again daka, it means it's adding to what the k'tiris meant when it said originally daka. The shachakta mena hadek is one level of daka. Now the k'tiris says again that it should be daka, must be, this is an extra level. That's how you know on Yom Kippur it was daka min hadaka. The Mishnah said, b'chol yom kanim oilim b'mizrachi shel kevesh. Every day when the kanim would walk up the ramp, they would be on the eastern side of the ramp. So the ramp, like the mizbeach, went south to north. The entrance to the ramp, the lowest part of the ramp, was on the darim side of the azara, and the other side of the mizbeach was on the tzofen side. If you walked into the Beis HaMikdash from the Har HaBayis, you're walking Mizrach to Ma'ariv. So the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is on the far end of the Beis HaMikdash, was on the far west, which means that half the mizbeach was facing Ma'ariv, the other half was facing Mizrach. The part facing the Kodesh HaKadosh and the Heichal, that's the Meiriv side of the Mizbeach. The part that's facing the entrance to the Harabayis and the Azara, that's the Mizrach side. So the ramp, when you walk up, you have options. You could be towards the Mizrach, that's farther away from the Heichal. You can be towards Meiriv, that would be closer to the Heichal. Or, of course, you can go up in the middle. So every day the Kohanim would go up Mizrach, meaning they'd go up to the side closest to the Harabayis, farther away from the Heichal, and when they would come down, on the Meiriv side. The Kohen Gadol went be'emtza, and he came down be'emtza. Zok the Gemara, what's the reason for all this? Says the Gemara, every day went up Mizrach, the Mizrach, because the Kohen, when he took turns in the Beis HaMikdash, he only made right turns. He couldn't make left turns. So if he's going to go to the right, he's going to be turning towards Mizrach. You're walking up the Azara, you make a right turn, you're turning towards Mizrach. So he might as well be closer Mizrach to make a sharper right turn rather than to have to make a wider right turn. That's the idea. When he comes down, he's coming from the other side. So therefore, he's going to end up coming down Meiriv. So what about the Kohen Gadol? It's the same halacha. You're right, this is all because of the cover of the Kohen Gadol. That's why we did it that way. The Mishnah continued to compare and contrast the Kohen Gadol's Avodah versus the Avodah that was done every day. Every day the Kohen Gadol, when he was Mekadosh Yad V'Raglav, he would be Mekadosh from the Kir. That's where all the Kehanim were Mekadosh Yad V'Raglav. Today it was from a Kitoin Shel Zahav. My time, why Kitoin Shel Zahav? Mishum Kvoide the Kohen Gadol. Because of the cover of the Kohen Gadol. In fact, Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah that the Kohen Gadol always used the Kitain Shel Zahav, not only on Yom Kippur, but every day he did. And the reason again is Mishum Kvoidoi the Kohen Gadol. B'chol Yoim Hoyesham Arba Marachis. And then the Mishnah went on really to discuss another difference between the Avodah, the setup on Yom Kippur versus the rest of the year. And this difference is going to take us until the end of the daf, and it's something that requires a very, very brief introduction. And that is, one of the features of the Mizbeach HaChitzon was there was a marocha. There was a fire. Now, the fire had to be made, set up the wood, light the fire. There's different sugyas that discuss how everything had to be done. Is it an avoid? It's not an avoid. Can a kohen do it? Can a zar do it? Was it done by day? Was it done during the night? So we've seen some of these sugyas already. The inkam mekoyimai. What we need for today's daf is that there wasn't just one maracha. There was more than one maracha. How many more? That was a major machloikis. Machloikis, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda said every single day in the Beis HaMikdash there were two marachas, not just one, there were two. So on the Mizbech HaChitzain, there were two fires. Now one was a big fire, the Maracha Gedoilo, and then there was a second fire that was smaller. Rabbi Yossi says every day there were three, one big and two smaller. Rabbi Meir said every day there were four, one big and three smaller. So Machloik is how many marachas there were. On Yom Kippur, they added another maracha. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, they added one. According to Rabbi Yossi, they added one. And according to Rabbi Meir, they added one. So if you make a sikkum, you put it all together. Rabbi Yehuda's shita is, every day there were two marachas on the Mizbeach HaChitzain. On Yom Kippur, there was three. Rabbi Yossi says, every day there were three. On Yom Kippur, there were four. Rabbi Meir's shita is, every day there were four. And on Yom Kippur, there were five. But there was more than just one maracha. Now, at first glance, what do you need more than one maracha for? You need a fire. So anything you need to use a fire for, you have a big maracha. What's the issue? So it's all based on psukim. It's all based on gzeres hakasavs, as we're going to see in the Gemara right now. And it's just based on a whole bunch of different psukim that talk about maracha that we learned that it wasn't okay to simply have one fire. There were, at the very minimum, two. According to some, three. According to others, four. There was always an extra one on Yom Kippur, which means that on Yom Kippur, according to one shita, there was even a fifth fire. So what's the makar to all this? So it's really based on six psukim that I mentioned in the beginning of Parshas Tzav. The pasuk says, "Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe lemer, Tzavis Aharon v'esbonav lemer, Zois Toiras ha'oilo, Hi ha'oilo, al mikta al mizbeach kol ha'layla ad ha'boiker ve'ish ha'mizbeach tukadoi." This pasuk describes the maracha. Zois Toiras ha'oilo. This is the oilo. Hi ha'oilo, al mikta al mizbeach kol ha'layla. The oilo had to be al mikta. What does mikta mean? On the Maroch. That's what it means. Maroch is a fire. And it had to be on the Maroch. This is the pasuk that is the source that there had to be a Maroch Gedoilo, which is where the Oilo was born, which is where all the Karbanos were brought. So the Makar to the Maroch, the concept is Hi HaOilo Al Moikto Ala Mizbeach Kal Alay Lad Baker. That pasuk is the Makar. That's the Makar that there had to be a Maroch. Now, once we understand that, it's obvious that there's more going on. Because number one, the pasuk continues and says, Ve'esh ha-mizbeach tukad boy. Chazal understood that's a little redundant. Hi ha-oila al-moikta al-mizbeach kol ha-layla da-boiker. Ve'esh ha-mizbeach tukad boy. So why does the Torah say that? Oh, to teach me that there had to be another marocha, as we'll see. The pasuk continues and says, V'lovash ha-koy midei bad, u'michnesei bad, yilbash al-besorei. I'm skipping to pasuk hey. Ve'ho'esh al ha-mizbeach tukad boy. Loi sichbe. Why is the pasuk have to say v'ha'esh ala mizbeach tukad boy? The next pasuk, esh tamid tukad ala mizbeach loy sichbe. Bottom line is the Torah mentions many times this fire. Hi ha'oila al moikto ala mizbeach alaylad boiker. That's one. V'esh hamizbeach tukad boy. That's two. V'ha'esh ala mizbeach tukad boy. Several psukim later. Number three, esh tamid tukad ala mizbeach loy sichbe. That's number four. Throw in a few vavs that the Torah mentions. V'esh hamizbeach, v'ha'esh al hamizbeach. It's clear that this work and room for drashas, and the Gemara is going to go in and do a deep dive into understanding the sources for all these different marachas. But the Gemara is going to focus not on our Mishnah, but rather on a braisa that discusses what our Mishnah says, but as it often does, expands on it a little bit. So instead of using the Mishnah as the backdrop for the Gemara's analysis, we're using the braisa, which is a little bit more wordy, a little more expansive in terms of discussing this machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Meir. How many different marachas there were? Zok Gemara Tana Rabbanu B'chol Yom Hayu Shtayim Marachas Vayim Shalosh. Every day there were two marachas. Day there was three. Achas Maracha Gedolah. One was a Maracha Gedolah. Achas Maracha Shniyah Shal Ketores. The second one was the Maracha Shniyah Shal Ketores. So what was the purpose of the second maracha? It was used for the coals that were going to be the basis of the Ketores. So we mentioned earlier, the first part of the daf talked about the Ketores, that where did the coals for the Ketores come from? It came from the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Theoretically, it could have came from the Mizbeach HaPnimi, but it didn't. It came from the Mizbeach HaChitzon. The Makar to that, and it not just did it come from the Mizbeach HaChitzon, but it came from its own independent, exclusive Maracha that was on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, that was the Maracha Shniyah. And that's why the Maracha Shniyah is known as the Maracha Shniyah Shal Ketores, because the purpose of the Maracha Shniyah was to have coals to be able to bring the Ketores. So every day there were two, and on Yom Kippur there were three. What were the two? That was every day. Maracha Gedolah, that's the big Maracha. The second one's Maracha Shniyah. It's Fa'achash B'zivim B'yayim, Divi Rabbi Yehuda. And on Yom Kippur there was a third one. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. It's Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. What's different between the Mishnah and the Braisa? What's different is the definition of the marachas. Mishnah just said two and another one. The Braisa talks more than the Mishnah does, and almost always does. And the extra talking is the definition of the two marachas. The first was the maracha gedayla. The second one was the maracha of the Ketores. Every day there were three, today there was four. What were the three that were there every day? Achas maracha gedayla, achas maracha shnei shal Ketores. The same two that Rabbi Yehuda had, va'achas, the third one that Rabbi Yossi has, is shel kiyum o'esh. There was a special fire that was there for kiyum o'esh. So there always had to be fire on the Mizbech. In fact, the Maracha Gedolah always had to be burning. So what happens if the Maracha Gedolah starts waning? They have to add fire. So old school would be to just throw in some twigs. Just add to the fire a little bit. But Rabbi Yossi Shita is that they didn't simply do that. But what they did was they had a special fire that was there for backup, and it was the fire that its purpose was for Kiyum HaEsh. So in case the fire needs a little help, the Maracha Gedolah, they would take from that third Maracha Shal Kiyum HaEsh, and that's the way they would supplement it. Yom Kippur, there was a fourth one. Every day there were four, and Yom Kippur there were five. What were the four every day? Meaning the three of that we just mentioned. The fourth one was if you had any limbs or fats of a carbon that weren't brought the previous night, so you could bring them the next day. But if they were brought the next day, they weren't brought on the Maracha Gedolah, rather they were brought on a different Maracha. So this is a Chiddush, and this is something that will be discussed a little bit more in tomorrow's daf. But for now, here's the concept. The Maracha Gedolah was used for the Haktara, but that's only if you're burning from a carbon that was brought today. So Hayoyim Yoyim Shlishi b'Shabbos, and you're using fire to burn karbonis that were brought on Hayoyim Yoyim Shlishi. So then the halach is you use the Maracha Gedolah. If, however, it's Hayoyim Yoyim Revi, and I'm bringing Evarim and Ptarim from a carbon that was brought by Yom HaShlishi, I have to have a separate fire. That's from Meishita. Learns it from a pasuk, as we're going to see. And that's what the fourth fire was. And then there was the fifth one that was brought in Yom Kippur. Regardless, so we have a braisa now that explained a little more than the Mishnah. We have the three Shitas, Rab Yehuda, Rab Yossi, and Rab Meir. Two every day, three every day, four every day. Everybody agrees they added another one for Yom Kippur. The question is what they were used for, and that was what this Braisa just said. The question is, what's the Makairis? How do you know? Two, three, four? What's this all based of? How do you know what you're supposed to use these fires for? So that's the discussion that the Gemara is going to have now in the rest of the daf. The Gemara is going to go through the three Shitas individually. The Kuli Alma Mias. Everybody agrees. Tarti Yislo. Everybody agrees every day there were two. The question is every day there were three and four. But for sure there were two. Minalim. What's the Makar? Amakar the Pasuk says, That Pasuk is the source from the Marach HaGadol. That's the first mention of the fire in Parshas Sav, the Pesukim that we mentioned in the introduction. When it says, that's the end of that Pasuk. Seems redundant. Zum Marach HaShniyah Shal Keteres. Describing the second Maracha, the purpose of the second Maracha was coals that's going to be used for the Keteres. For Rabbi Yossi, says the Gemara, who holds that every day there was a third. And what was the purpose of the third? For the Kiyum HaEsh. You had to have a fire that was there as reserves in case the fire, the Maracha Gedol starts waning. This is where we're going to take the fire from. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi, Kiyum HaEsh Minali. What's his Makar for that third fire? Nafgalei, he learns it from the Pasuk that says, That's the third mention of fire in those Pesukim. It's Pasuk He. So the first two fires are mentioned in Pasuk Beis. This one's mentioned in Pasuk He. That's another mention. It's referring to another fire, and that's what the fire is for. Now, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't darshan that Pasuk. So what's that Pasuk coming to say? Lachura, he agrees it's extra. So what's it coming to teach me? It's coming to say that the way that the fire was given strength if it needed wasn't from a separate maracha. According to people, there wasn't a separate maracha. So what would you do? You would just simply light a fire. The question is, lighting that fire, were there any dinim associated with it? So Rabbi Yehuda says, yeah. The din was, it had to be on the mizbech. You had to light that fire b'roish ha-mizbech. At first glance, who says it has to be al roish ha-mizbech? There are very few things that had to be b'roish ha-mizbech. This had to be b'roish ha-mizbech. His makar is this pasuk, v'ho'esh al ha-mizbech tukadboy, that the fire that you're creating, hatzotzas alisa, that's lighting these little pieces of wood, to be mechazik the fire, had to be al ha-mizbech. So it's not referring to another marocha that was al ha-mizbech. Rabbi Yossi darshin ho'esh al ha-mizbech tukadboy, that's a marocha that's on the top of the mizbech. He says, no, we already dressed with two marochas every day, we dealt with those two marochas. This pasuk is coming to say that if you had a light of fire to add to the marocha gedoyla, it had to be lit al ha-mizbech. Titania, and it's really a braisa. Hoy Rabbi Yehuda, Oymer Rabbi Yehuda used to say, how do you know hatzotzas Lisa has to be on the top of the Mizbeach. Talmud Loimar, Vehoesh, Al HaMizbeach, Tukadboy. Zok de Gemara. Omer Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said, Menayin Shoisim Aroch L'Kiyom HaEsh. How do you know that you're supposed to make a fire for Kiyom HaEsh? That's Rabbi Yossi's sheet. So we just explained it. You darshan the Pasik, Vehoesh, Al HaMizbeach, Tukadboy. So the Gemara brings this drasha again. Talmud Loimar, it says, Vehoesh, Al HaMizbeach, Tukadboy. Zok de Gemara. For Rabbi Yossi, Atzotzes Alisa Minalei. According to Rabbi Yossi, what happens if you do have to light fire? I mean, in the morning, you may have to light fire. During the day, at some point, you may have to light fire. So, where was that done? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it had to be done on top of the Mizbech. He learned it from V'ho'esh al HaMizbech Tukadboy. Rabbi Yossi used V'esh al HaMizbech Tukadboy to teach me there was a third Maracha. So how does Rabbi Yossi know that the Hatzotzes Alisa had to be B'roish HaMizbech? So we're assuming that he agreed it had to be B'roish HaMizbech. And assuming that is correct, what would be the Makar? Nafgalei Mehechad and Nafgalei the Reb Shimon. He learns it from Reb Shimon. And we learned in a Braisa. It says, V'nosnu b'nei Aharin ha-koyein esh al HaMizbech. What does that mean? Limed al atzotza saliso shloitei el b'koyin kosher b'klisharz de Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said that that pasuk is coming to see that any time a fire was lit in the Beis HaMikdash, it had to be done by a koyin who was kosher, and it had to be done with klisharz. A koyin had to light fires. Omalei Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon told Rabbi Yehuda a gishmak kasha. He said v'chisal al taitcha shazar karv v'gabe mizbeach. He said, Rabbi Yehuda, you're the one that darshin v'ho'ish al hamizbeach tukaboy, not to teach me that there was a third maracha every day for kiyum ha'esh, but rather if you ever had a light a fire for reinforcements, it had to be done b'roish ha-mizbech. So Rabbi Shimon told Rabbi Yehuda, if you Rabbi Yehuda hold that the fire had to be lit b'roish ha-mizbech, of course it had to be done by a kohen. A zar can't go to the top of the mizbech. So naturally, I know it had to be done by a kohen. So what do you need v'nasum le'harin hakohen eish al mizbeach to teach me? Lime dalat tzatzas alisa shtoy elo b'kohen. L'chayr, of course, it had to be done by a kohen. And if it had to be done by a kohen, it had to be kosher. And if he had to be a kohen kosher, needed a klishar. I know this halach already. Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasei that darshins v'eish al mizbeach tu kaboy, that you had to light the fire in the mizbeach. So by definition, I could back into the fact that it had to be done by a kohen. Bishlam according to Rabbi Yosi v'eish al mizbeach tu kaboy is not talking about lighting the fire. It's talking about the third marachal. So when you light the fire, I don't know how it had to be done. So Kamash Malan a pasuk, it had to be done by a kohen. But you hold that it had to, that pasuk is coming to teach me how the fire was lit, and it had to be lit b'reish hamizbeach. So if it had to be lit b'reish hamizbeach, so naturally it had to be done by a kohen. That's Rabbi Shimon's kasha to Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda going to respond? Imei hasam havamid koya arav avim apuka. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, I know a zar can't go to the top of the mizbeach, but maybe the zar could stand on the bottom of the mizbeach, leave the fire on top of the mizbeach, fan the fire from the distance, and cause the fire to start knocking. How do you know you can't do that? Meaning, maybe it's possible for a zar to light the fire b'reish hamizbeach. He'll say, what do you mean? He can't go to the reish hamizbeach. He'll do it from a distance. He'll do a long range lighting of the fire. He'll stand on the floor, koya aru, va'ovi b'mapucha, and he'll use a fanner. Kamash malan. That's why you needed a pasuk. So you want to know why you needed a pasuk? That's the reason that you needed a pasuk. So says the Gemara that, oh, we skipped the line. So that's the makar to this halacha. Now, what does Reb Shimon do with the pasuk of v'nostu b'nei aharin hakoyin eish al mizbeach? Reb Shimon uses the pasuk of v'nostu hakoyin eish al mizbeach to teach us that the fire had to be done b'reish al mizbeach. And that's what the Gemara means. Again, the Gemara said that we had a machloikis, Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yehuda, when it says v'ha'esh alam ezbeach tukadboy, does v'ha'esh alam ezbeach tukadboy come to teach me that there was a third maracha, or does v'ha'esh alam ezbeach tukadboy come to teach me that tatzotzas alisa had to be b'reish hamizbeach? Rabbi Yosi said it comes to teach me that there was a third maracha. Yehuda says it comes to teach me that tatzotzas alisa had to be b'reish hamizbeach. Fzok de Gemara, according to Rabbi Yosi, that doesn't use v'ha'esh alam ezbeach tukadboy to teach me tatzotzas alisa has to be b'reish hamizbeach. How does he know tatzotzas alisa has to be b'reish hamizbeach? Assuming he knows it, so he learns it from v'nostu b'nei ha'arein ha'koyed eish al mizbeach. That's where he learns it from. That pasuk in the brice that the Gemara just brought in the shakta v'tayr between Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda, it seems to emerge that Rav Shimon used that pasuk as the makar to teach me hatzasas alisa has to be reish al mizbeach. Rav Yehuda used it to teach me that you need a kohen kosher and a klishar. Rav Shimon had a problem with that. Rav Yehuda l'shitasei. But what is Rav Yehuda? What does Rav Shimon himself use it for? That was the line that we skipped. Elo limeit al hatzasas alisa shloi tehei elo b'reish. And if that's where Rav Shimon used the pasuk for, so Memela, that could be what Rav Yosi is going to learn it, use the pasuk for. Regardless, we have Rav Yosi's makar for this halacha. So where are we up to right now? We have a makar to the first maracha, that was the maracha gedoylo. He ha'oyla al moikta al mizbeach kol alaylo. We have the makar to the second maracha, that's the maracha that was used for the ketores ve'esh hamizbeach tukadboy. And we have the makar to Rav Yosi's third maracha, ve'ha'esh al mizbeach tukadboy. That's three psukim later. That pasuk teaches me that there was a third maracha. Now Rameya held there was a fourth maracha. Fourth maracha was used for the varamu p'tarim shloines aklumi ba'erev that weren't properly burnt the day before, so the next day you can burn it, but it has to be burnt on a separate maracha. This Rameya varamu p'tarim shloines aklumi ba'erev minole. How did you know there was a separate maracha for that? What's that makar? Nafkale sakti gemara. He learns it from ve'esh alam esbeach tukaboy. He learns it from the same words that teach me the maracha shniyah. It says ve'esh. But there's an extra vav. The vav teaches me an extra maracha. That's Rameya's fourth maracha. V'rabbanan. What are the Rabbanan? Meaning Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi, the two Tanam that disagree with Rameya. What did they do with that vav? Vav loy darshi. They don't darshin the vav. V'rabbanan. Eivarim p'darim shloines aklum mi ba'erev my avodhu. So what was done according to those Rabbanan with the Eivarim p'darim shloines aklum? Rameya holds the Eivarim p'darim shloines aklum ba'erev. They had a special fire for that. But the Rabbanan that hold there was no special fire. So what did they do with it? Mahadulu maracha gedoyla. They would put it back on the maracha gedoyla. Simple. They use the maracha gedoyla. You can use the maracha gedoyla for a varim p'darim that were brought today, and you can use it for varim that were brought yesterday. What's the difference? Tanya b'nai the varim p'darim shloines aklum ba'erev. HaMizbeach. How do you know that if you have a Varm Abdarim and you didn't have a chance to burn it today, so how do you know you can line it up on the Mizbeach? If there's no room on the Mizbeach, you can line it up on the ramp. Or on top of the Soiv. Until you have the Maracha Gedol, you're able to burn it. It's learned out from a Pasuk. From Asha Toichalo Esh Esa Oil Ala Mizbeach, that Pasuk teaches me that if you needed to, you can line up Devarim Abdarim on the Mizbeach, and when you have the Maracha Gedol, you can bring it. Now, just to properly understand this halacha, there's a psulina with all things kacha. Specifically, we're talking about Devarim Abdarim. So, if you bring a carbon on a Yom Yom Shlishi, and you're not going to be makta de murim until a Yom Yom Revi, that's a problem. It's going to be possibleina. But there's a sugi that says that there's no psulina on the Mizbeach. So if you have Devarim Abdarim on the Mizbeach overnight, they don't become possibleina. You'll be able to be makta. So that's what the Gemara is saying. That really it was brought on the Maracha Gedoyla. You didn't need a special Maracha. Now, sometimes they didn't have a Maracha Gedoyla until the next day. So if they didn't have it until the next day, put it on the Mizbeach, and by the next day, you'll be able to use it. And that's learned out from Asher Toichal Ho'esh Esa Oila Ala Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, Vira Meir, what does he do with Asher Toichal Ho'esh Esa Oil Alam Mizbeach? The Rabbanon say it's coming to teach me that Evarim Uptarim from yesterday bring on the Maracha Gedoyla. But Meir holds he didn't put it on the Maracha Gedoyla. Meir holds it was a special Maracha for that. V'esh, the Vav. So what is Rameir then darshan from Asher Toichal Ho'esh Esa Oil Alam Mizbeach? Ikula Oil Ata Machzer, V'ata Machzer Ikula Iktar. It's coming to teach me something else, that if you're burning something, the Evarim Uptarim are in the fire, and then they jumped out of the fire, what's known as poikin, Rashi, poikin shepoku me'alo ish. So the halach is, you could put it back in the fire. Ikule oyla at the machzer, but only ikule oyla at the machzer, asher toichal es ha'ish es ha'oyla, but via the machzer ikule k'tairis. The k'tairis, you don't have this halacha for, and that's what that pasuk is coming to teach me. Tani Rab Chananya bar Menyumi b'devei Rab Elezer ben Yaakov, asher toichal es ha'oyla al mezbech, ikule oyla at the machzer, via the machzer ikule k'tairis. So we have the makar to the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rameh. Rabbi Yehuda says every day there were two marachas. The first one was the maracha gedoyla, he, ha'oyla, al-moikta, al-mazvech, al-layla, ad-boiker. There was a second maracha every day. That was the maracha that was used for the k'tayres. Next words in the pasuk. The esham ha'mazvech tu'kadbay. Rabbi Yossi said there was a third maracha. The purpose of the third maracha was kiyom ha'esh, ve'ha'esh, al-mazvech tu'kadbay. Reb Meir says there was a fourth maracha. That maracha was for the Evarim Uptarim that were brought yesterday. You couldn't just put it back on them as maracha gedoyla, and now you need a special maracha for it. The Vav of the Eish HaMizbeach Tukabai teaches me that. So we have the makar for that. The Mishnah also said that on Yom Kippur, everybody agrees it was an extra fire. The Kuli Alma Miyas, Maisifim Bay Bayoy. Islu, Minalu, what's the makar to that? So now we need a makar to another maracha that everybody's going to agree upon, that's going to be used one day a year on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara, Nafka Lahu Mi Veha Esh, from the words Veha Esh. Pasik Beis, that was Rameyer's Vav, was Ve'esh HaMizbeach Tu Kabay. That was the makar to his fourth maracha. The Gemara now is darshaning Pasik Hey, Veha Esh HaMizbeach Tu Kabay. That was the makar to Rabbi Yehuda's third maracha, Rabbi Yossi's third maracha, but regardless, it's the Veha Esh HaMizbeach. That's where we learn it from. And the Gemara adds a knech that, what do you mean? We just said that only Rameyer darshan the Vav of the Esh. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi didn't darshan the Vav. So all of a sudden now, Veha Esh, everyone darshans. So the Gemara addresses that and says, Vafilu the mandaloi darish Vav. Even the mandama that doesn't darshan Vav, Vav hey darish. So even the mandama that doesn't darshan Ve'esh, Veha Esh, he does darshan. So there's a difference between darshaning a Vav and a Vav hey. Like we've talked about S and V, S, Kol and Vikol. There's a difference between a Vav and a Vav hey. That is the Mikar. Zok the Gemara. Esh Tamid Lemai. Also, when it says in the Pasuk, Eish Tamid. So what is Eish Tamid coming to teach me? So again, in the spirit of darshaning all these psukim, so Pasuk Vav in this parasha is Eish Tamid Tukat Alam Mizbeach Lo Yisechbe. So what's that coming to teach me? Mi Boy Le Lechide Tanya. It says, Ve'esh HaMizbeach Tukat Boy. That's the Girs of the Vilna Gaon. It says, Ve'esh HaMizbeach Tukat Boy Al HaMizbeach Likmeid Al Marocha Shnir Shal K'tayres. We learn from the Marocha Shnir Shal K'tayres Leitei Ela Al HaMizbeach Achitzay. That it should come from the Mizbeach Achitzay. So again, this Pasuk is the Makar to the Marocha Shnir Shal K'tayres. Savas Aram Bespon Of Lemez Eistayres Ila Oil Al Mekta Al Mizbeach Lalai Lad Boiker. That's the big Marocha. Ve'esh HaMizbeach Tukat Boy. That's the Marocha Shnir Shal K'tayres. This pasuk says the Braisa teaches me not only there was Maracha Shnir Shal K'tayres, but that the Maracha Shnir was a second Maracha on the Mizbeach Achitzan. Now, the Gemara doesn't explain how you know that, but it's Pasuk, because that Pasuk is talking about the Mizbeach Achitzan. The oila was for sure brought on the Mizbech HaChitzon. He oila moit al Mizbech la'layla means the Mizbech HaChitzon. So if you have a pasuk now that says ve'esh ha'mizbech tu kaboy, that there's another esh, obviously that other esh is also the Mizbech HaChitzon. So we learn from here that the Maracha Shnia was on the Mizbech HaChitzon. Esh machta u'minoyer minayin. How do you know that the fire that was used for the machta, that's the gecholim that was used for the keteris that was burning Yom Kippur, and the fire that was used for the menorah when necessary. So how do you know that those fires came from the Mizbech HaChitzon as well? So the Gemara v'dinu l'chura, you can make the following argument. Nema esh b'keteris, nema esh b'machta u'minoyer. It says esh b'keteris, says esh b'machta u'minoyer. Ma'la halam Mizbech HaChitzon, afkal Mizbech HaChitzon. Just like the esh of the keteris came to Mizbech HaChitzon, so maybe the esh for the keteris on Yom Kippur and the esh for the menorah also came to Mizbech HaChitzon. Or you can approach this in a different way. Nemar esh b'keteris, nemar esh b'machta menorah. It says esh by the keteris, it says esh by the machta menorah. Ma'la halam b'samach loy, just like over there was b'samach loy, meaning the keteris was brought b'samach loy to where the fire was taken from. Now it's not mamish samach loy because the keteris was brought in the Mizbech HaPnimi and the fire was taken from the Mizbech HaChitzon, but it's sort of samach loy. It's for sure the closest, af machta u'menorah b'samach loy. So maybe the machta and the menorah also should come for samach loy. So maybe the keteris on Yom Kippur shouldn't come from the Mizbech HaChitzon, maybe it should come from the Mizbech HaPnimi, because the keteris on Yom Kippur was brought in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So maybe it should come from the Mizbech that's closest to it, which would be the Mizbech HaPnimi. Meaning the Mizbech HaPnimi's keteris will come not from its own Mizbech, but from the Mizbech closest to it. That's the Mizbech HaChitzon. But the Mizbech that's Lefnai V'Lefnim should come from the Mizbech closest to it, which is the Mizbech HaPnimi. That's the Mizbech in the Heichal. The same is true for the Menorah. The Menorah should come from an external source, but from the source closest to it. So not from the Mizbech HaChitzon, from the Mizbech HaPnimi. Says the Gemara. So that's why Talmud Loimar, Eish Tomid Tukad Ala Mizbech Leisichbe, Eish Tomid Shamarti L'chad that should come from the Mizbech HaChitzon. That's what the word Tamid is coming to teach me. And Lamadna, we learn from here that the Eish Tamid, what's the Eish Tamid? Eish Lemenoira, that the Eish of the Menoira, which was Tamid, came from the Mizbech HaChitzon. Now, how do you know the Eish of Menoira was Tamid? Because the Menoira was Tamid. So that's the Makar. So again, we start off with a Braisa that says, how do you know that the Eish of the Ketores came from the Mizbech HaChitzon? Even though the Keteris brought the Mizbech HaPnimi, the Teretz says, Ve'ish HaMizbech Tukaboy, is in the parasha that talks about the Oila, which was brought on the Mizbech HaChitzon, so that also came to Mizbech HaChitzon. Very good. Now, how do you know that the Eish that was used for the Keteris Lefnai V'Lefnim, and the Eish that was used for the Menorah, how do you know that also came from the Mizbech HaChitzon? So we said, it says Eish Tamid in this parasha, which Eish is Tamid? This is an extra pasuk. The Eish of the Menorah was Tamid to teach me that the Eish of the Menorah also came from the Mizbech HaChitzon. So we just solved half the equation. We started off hunting for a Makar. How do you know that the Eish of the Menorah came to Mizbech HaChitzon? How do you know the Eish of the Keteris and Yom Kippur came to Mizbech HaChitzon? Eish Tamid is not the Keteris and Yom Kippur. That wasn't Tamid. That was one day a year. So obviously we have a Makar for the Eish of the Menorah. What we still need is a Makar for the Eish of the Machta, the Eish of the Keteris and Yom Kippur. That's the end of the Gemara. Eish la Machta minayin. What's the Makar to the Eish of the Machta? How do you know that Eish also came from the Mizbech HaChitzon? And the Gemara goes through the same exercise. V'dinu. What do you mean? Nema Eish by Machta, nema Eish by Menorah. It says Eish by Machta, and it says Eish by Menorah. Ma'la halam again Mizbech HaChitzon, afkal again Mizbech HaChitzon. Just like by the Menorah came to Mizbech HaChitzon, we just said, so too maybe the Eish of the Yom Kippur also came to Mizbech HaChitzon. It says Eish by the Keter, says Eish by Machta. Just like by the Menorah, it came from Samach Loy. Just like by the Keteris, it always came from Samach Loy. The closest Mizbeach, external source of fire, to the Mizbech HaPnim is the Mizbech HaChitzon. Maybe here too it should come from the Mizbech closest to it, which is the Mizbech HaPnim. Now this pasuk is describing the Keteris on Yom Kippur, and it says you should take it from the fire that's milifnei Hashem. Zok de Gemara, you take it from a fire that's on the Mizbeach, that's lifnei Hashem. It sounds like part of the Mizbeach is lifnei Hashem, and part of the Mizbeach is not lifnei Hashem. Now, the Mizbeach HaPnimi was lifnei Hashem. It was in the Heichal. The Mizbeach HaChitzon, you can argue, is partially lifnei Hashem, partially not. The Meirif part, the part facing the Heichal, is lifnei Hashem. But the part facing Mizrach, the other side, is maybe not lifnei Hashem. So Zok de Gemara, Ezeu Mizbeach, Shemektsasi lifnei Hashem, Ve'en Kuloi lifnei Hashem, Heve Oimer Ze Mizbeach HaChitzon. You would think it's a Mizbeach HaChitzon. That's the Makar. It had to be on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. So this pasuk, v'lokach m'lei amlachto, gach le'esh, me'ala Mizbeach, melifnei Hashem, that's the Makar that the the gecholim for the k'toras on Yom Kippur came from the mizbeach achitzin. For itzrach lemichta me'ala mizbeach, for itzrach lemliftach le'ah Hashem. In order to tell us this point that the k'toras on Yom Kippur came from the mizbeach achitzin, it had to say me'ala mizbeach meliftnei Hashem. Both phrases. Dikas rachman me'ala mizbeach. I know it's me'ala mizbeach. I mean, my mizbeach was echapnimi. I would have thought it means mizbeach apnimi because rachman liftnei Hashem. Because rachman liftnei Hashem had to say liftnei Hashem. Have I mean a dafkim liftnei Hashem? I would think it has to be from the meliftnei Hashem part of the mizbeach, meaning from the meir part of the mizbeach. From the other parts of the mizbeach, not tzricha. That's why the Torah had to say that it's me'ala mizbeach milifnei Hashem. Now, milifnei Hashem teaches me that it has to be dafka from the mizbeach achitzoin, because it's a mizbeach that has partially lifnei Hashem, not partially lifnei Hashem. So we know which mizbeach it is, but at the same time, me'ala mizbeach teaches me that it doesn't have to be necessarily from the lifnei Hashem part. So it has to be from the mizbeach that has partially milifnei Hashem, partly not milifnei Hashem. But once you're on that mizbeach, it doesn't matter where you take it from. You could even take it from the not milifnei Hashem chelik. That in and of itself is going to be good. Regardless, so today's daf was really a tale of two sugyas. The first part discussed differences between the k'toras that was brought every day and the k'toras that was brought in Yom Kippur. Technical differences. How many shovels? Was it gold? Was it silver? What type of gold was it? How big was it? What part of the ramp did the Kohen Gadol walk up? How did he walk down? So there was a lot of nuances. The handle, did it have a ring? It didn't have a ring. He could hold it underneath his shoulder. That was the first part of the daf. Second part of the daf was more drushes related, really focused on a few psukim at the beginning of Parashat Sav. And it focused on an explanation of the three-way machloikis, a very important machloikis that the Mishnah mentions on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis, that the Gemara brought a braisa that elaborated on Daf Mem Hei and Aleph, and that is how many marachas were there every single day in the Beis HaMikdash. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there were two. According to Rabbi Yossi, there were three. And according to Rabbi Meir, there were four. The two that everybody agrees there were was the Maracha Gedoyla, that's where all the Karbanos were burned, and the Maracha Shnia Shal K'tayrus. That was a Maracha that was there simply so that when it's time to bring the K'tayrus twice every day, it happened often. You take the coals from there and you bring it into the Heichel. According to Rabbi Yossi, there was a third Maracha that was there for Kiyam Ha'esh. If there was any time that we needed reserves for the Maracha Gedoyla, it came from this pre-existing fire. That was the Maracha number three. And the fourth Maracha that only Rav Meir held existed, that was meant for Evarim Uptarim that were brought as part of Kambanas from yesterday. If you're going to burn it today, it's not Bay Bayoyim. What happened to Psolina? No, it was on the Mizbech. We dealt with Psolina. But how are you going to bring it? You're going to bring it on this special Maracha. So this special Maracha, that's what that's going to be brought for. So two, three, four, these are the three Shitas. Everybody agrees that there was another fire on Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur, there was another fire. Now, we didn't mention what was the purpose of that other fire in Yom Kippur. That other fire in Yom Kippur was meant for the coals that were brought on Yom Kippur's Ketairis. So the Maracha Shnei Shal Ketairis, that was for the Ketairis that was brought every day. But this new Maracha, whether it's the third or the fourth or the fifth, depending on what Shita you hold, but that extra Maracha that was there only for Yom Kippur, that was meant for the Ketairis on Yom Kippur. What's the Makar to it? It says, V'ha Eish Al HaMizbech. And even though Vav, some people darshan, some people don't darshan, but a Vav Hey, everybody darshans. Another thing the Gemara discussed at the very end of the Daf is that the Eish of the Menorah also came from the Mizbeach Achitzai. The Eish of the Menorah came from the Mizbeach Achitzai. Now the truth is, the Gemara says in different places that the Kohen, when he would light the Menorah, he would take the fire from the Ner Maravi. Ner Maravi lit Al Derech Nes, and he would use that every single day to light the other candles. Stating that, there were times that there was no Ner Maravi. Like the Gemara said in the beginning of the Perek. The Gemara said that during the 40 years of Shimon HaTzadik, there was a Ner Maravi. But after Shimon HaTzadik, there was no longer a Ner Maravi. So during those tkufas where there was no Ner Maravi, where did they take the fire? They took it from the Mizbeach HaChitzon. So in short, all the fires came from the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Whether it was the Ketoros that was brought every day, if they ever needed fire for the Menorah, whether it was the Ketoros that was brought in Yom Kippur, it came from the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Where was their fire in the Mizbeach HaChitzon? The Maracha. How many Maracha? Machloikis, whether it was two, three, or four, everybody agrees that one of the chidushin of Yom Kippur is Yom Kippur had an extra fire. That was the Maracha Yisera that was on Yom Kippur. What was the purpose of that Maracha? It was there for the K'tairis that was born in Yom Kippur. We'll see a little bit more, not that much more, but a little bit more about this topic in Yetz Hashem in tomorrow's daf.